If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Our study this morning can be found in Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 through 32. I have previously mentioned how the plagues upon Pharaoh in the land of Egypt came in groups of three. Three groups of three, with one final plague, the death of the firstborn, being the last one. I've also stated that in each of these groups of three, in the first two of each group, God gave a warning. But there's no warning for that third one. For example, in the first group of three, the first plague, the plague of the waters turning into blood, here was God's warning to Pharaoh. Chapter 7, I'm reading out of chapter 7, verse 16 through 18. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And on the warning goes. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 8. In the first group of three, in the second plague, the plague of the frogs, it also contained a warning from God. Chapter 8, look at verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I'll smite all thy borders with frogs. But now as we turn our attention to the third plague in this first group of three, the plague of lice, we're going to note that there's no warning from God unto Pharaoh. Let's begin our study today, the plague of lice, and our format, we're going to look at the response of God, the response of Moses and Aaron, and the response of Pharaoh concerning this plague of lice. The Lord's response concerning the plague of lice, look at verse 16, please. Chapter 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. The Lord does not, with this plague, instruct Moses to give Pharaoh any kind of warning whatsoever. Moses was here to tell Aaron, just stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it might become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, it's kind of interesting that this is the first time in the Bible that this Hebrew word translated lice appears. Now, Strong, in his concordance, he says that it was a species of gnats, very troublesome because of its stinging bites. Now, I read there that these particular stinging bites, these particular gnats, could be found in the marshy parts. But from our reading here, we see that they have expanded out throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, others believe that this was some form of sand flea or mosquito. But it was troublesome. Now, the Lord just gave me a little bit of taste of that in the last week or so. We've had a bunch of fruit flies get loose over in our office. I mean, they've been multiplying. And they don't bite. There's no bite to them. They're just troublesome. Thank the Lord. I had one of my counseling sessions, I had someone suggest vinegar. Put a little vinegar in, leaving it out there in a cup. And I did some more research and I found put some soap in it too. So I put some soap in it, and boy, they come swarming for that and they're all dead. The pests are gone. It was just a small thing for the last 2 weeks. I was fighting those little gnats, those little fruit flies. Whatever these particular insects were, they were not pleasant. They were a pest. And not only to the Egyptians, but they're also a pest to the Israelites. Because we read here in this verse, they were throughout all the land of Egypt. This plague came upon Pharaoh and upon the land without any warning. Look at your purpose, please, on your sheet. I purpose to understand that I may not receive a warning prior to every chastening of the Lord, especially when I've been warned before. You shouldn't expect the warning every time. If you've been warned before, as Pharaoh had been warned before to let the people go, first plague, second plague, warned, third plague, no warning. Did you ever receive a chastening from a parent without receiving a warning? Did you ever chasten your child without giving them a warning? What are some reasons we're chastened by another or we chasten another without a warning? Well, I thought about it, and one thought came to my mind. Well, maybe it's because of the nature of the sin. Man, it was bad. It was such a bad sin, we just dealt with it. Dealt with it quickly. Or maybe it was because of the nature of the sinner. They were bad in the fact that they hadn't previously heeded any of our warnings. They just continued in that same behavior. Why was there no warning from the Lord prior to this plague? Well, the sin and the sinner, in this case, were both bad. Pharaoh, the sinner, he was bad. He had failed to respond to the previous warnings, and Pharaoh's sin was bad. He'd made a vow to let the people go back in chapter 8, verse 8, only to recant on that promise. Chapter 8, verse 15. This morning, Deacon Frank, he read from Ecclesiastes 4, 5. And what's that say? Well, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. He says, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Look at your purpose, please, in thinking about this. Because I do not want to experience God's wrath for not keeping a vow, I purpose either not to make it, or if I do make it, to keep it. Well, watch here, Moses and Aaron's response to this plague of lice. Look at verse 17. And they did so. There's obedience. For Aaron, he stretched out his hand with the rod, he smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in men and in beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. As in the two previous plagues, Moses and Aaron, they did as God had commanded them. Moses, he tells Aaron what to do. Aaron, he stretches out his rod, and he smites the dust, and it becomes lice. And this plague, it's about not only men, but also beasts. When we were in Chile, I can remember a situation where we went to visit a family, nice family, had a bunch of dogs though. And boy, I can't remember, was it a couch we sat on or a bench? I don't know, we sat on something. We just sat there and, you know, we talked, and, you know, we got up and left. And I noticed from my knees down, filled with bites. I mean, just all kinds of bites. And Teresa had the same thing on her. The dog had fleas. The dogs had fleas. And we had a whole bunch of flea bites. Well, you look at this situation, and here's what you think. Look at here. Look at your purpose. I purpose to hear and to heed the word of God so that other people and animals will not be part of the consequences that come my way. Our sinfulness can cause consequences not only upon other humans, but also upon animals. And you've known of people who had how many cats in their house, and they were starving, and horses, you've read of horses, and they're starving. Why? Because of their sin. So we can suffer. Animals can suffer as a result of our sinfulness. But we want to focus on Pharaoh and the magician's response to this plague of lice. Look at verse 18 and 19 with me. And the magicians, they did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. As with the plague of blood and the plague of frogs, it appears that Pharaoh again commands his magicians to duplicate this plague. Sounds foolish to us to want to duplicate such a plague, but it appears that he commanded them to do so. But unlike the first two plagues, God did not permit him or permit them to duplicate it. Verse 19 gives us some indication as to why God didn't permit them with their secret enchantments to bring forth more lice. But the magicians, they'd seen enough with the first three plagues to realize that this was a power greater than even Moses and Aaron. This is a power greater than even themselves. This was some kind of supreme being that was bringing forth these plagues and taking them away. Therefore, they declare to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." His own wise men, his own sorcerers realized that these plagues, they came because of the supreme power. Now, but notice here, if you will, we see them acknowledging God's sovereignty and his superiority. But we do not read of them accepting him by worshiping him and worshiping him alone. Remember, the Egyptians had a multitude of gods. So most likely for these sorcerers, these individuals, enchanters, it was just one more god for them. But they do acknowledge before Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. We can't duplicate these things. Now, how does their testimony affect Pharaoh? Look at it. We read here, Pharaoh's heart, it was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, just as the Lord had said. Can miracles in and by themselves save a person? And the answer we've already seen was no. Can plagues in and of themselves save a person? And the answer to that is no. Well, look here. Can the testimony of your wisest counselors save you? Can they save another? And the answer to that is no. Look at your purpose, please. Because of this example, I purpose to realize a person cannot be saved just because their closest and most trusted counselors bear witness to them. This is the finger of God. God must quicken them unto salvation by his word and through his spirit. John chapter 6, verses 63 through 65. Now, just how long did this plague last? Well, we're not told. But sometime after the first, second, and third plagues, that series of three comes the next series of three. And it begins with flies. The plague of flies. And we're again looking at the response of God, Moses and Aaron, and Pharaoh concerning this plague of flies. This first group of plagues is over, and there's been no true repentance from Pharaoh. Thus, the second group of three is about to begin. And what we're going to note here is that the Lord's response to the plague of flies and Moses and Aaron's response to the plague of flies are pretty much put together. Look at God's instructions to Moses here in chapter 8, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, for lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. The Lord instructs Moses, he's to get up early and he's to go stand before the water. And he's to wait for Pharaoh. Perhaps to come to wash, perhaps to come to worship, or both. And what's the message that God wants Moses to share with Pharaoh? Well, it's the same message that he previously shared with Moses. Let my people go, that they may serve me. I thought about that. Now, I thought about the number of times it's been repeated. And here's the purpose that came to my mind. Take a look at it. From the repeated statements of God, let my people go that they may serve me, I purpose, now listen to this, I purpose not to let others hinder me from going and serving the Lord, and I purpose not to hinder others from going and serving the Lord. If God's called you to serve him, you need to go and serve him. If God's called someone else, you need to be careful that you don't hinder them from going and serving. Well, Moses' warning to Pharaoh, listen to the I wills. Verse 21. Else, by the way, this is the first of the second three, there's going to be a warning. If thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, upon thy servants, upon thy people, into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians. Thou shalt be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Now the King James Bible says, and notice, if you will, the of flies is in italicized, isn't it? Of flies, which means what? It's not in the original text. Literally, God says, I'm going to send swarms. In fact, it's translated seven times in your King James Bible, swarms. But it's also translated twice, diverse sorts of flies, when referring to this very same incident. And listen to them. This is both of them out of Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 45 says this. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. Same incident. And then in Psalm 105, verse 31, he spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies, lice, in all their coasts. What's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is, though it's italicized here, two other places in the Bible, it is translated swarms of flies, okay? Diverse sorts of flies. Strong says it was a gadfly, very troublesome to persons because they bite and suck blood. Well, you know, my grandfather had a farm, and I was my grandfather's right-hand man. You can't shovel manure without getting around some flies, okay? My grandfather referred to them as horseflies. And he referred to them as horseflies because they were so big. And I thought that was something he'd made up. And I was preparing this message. I said, I'm going to go find out if there's such a thing as a horsefly. Sure enough, there is a horsefly. And the reason why their bites were so bad, I'm reading this, they're mandibles. I guess because of their mandibles, they could take a bite out of you, and they hurt. Horseflies, their bites, they hurt. And it's amazing. Just a fly can distract you. I was golfing yesterday, and I said to my son, that same fly has followed me for three holes. I'm not kidding you. Every time I got ready to, you know, you want to get ready to take a shot, and it's in your ear, and it's buzzing around you, and it's distracting you. And I'm in a cart, mind you. So I'm vroom, down to the next hole, thinking I'm going to get away from that fly. I get down there, and guess what? I get out to, he's there again. Now you say, well, maybe it's a different one. No, I could tell it was the same one. Well, yeah, because he made this sound. You know, it had a unique sound to him. three holes. And I'm trying to get him, but I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know what? Maybe the Lord's trying to give me a little taste of this message. Just one fly. And this one wasn't even biting me. He was just buzzing me. Whatever particular type of fly this was, it caused great pain. It would cause great pain to the Egyptians, but it's not going to cause great pain to the Israelites. Watch what comes next. Look at verse 22, the next I will. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Now, by now the old magicians, they knew the plagues were the finger of God. But the fact that these plague of flies would not be in the land of Goshen, where all the Israelites, was for the purpose of showing Pharaoh that God was the one who was bringing about all of this. I mean, he's separating, even in the land of Egypt, here's this portion over here, Goshen, no flies. The rest of it, flies. But God's not only going to sever the land, he's going to sever and divide the people. Watch what comes next. Verse 23, the next I will. And I will put a division, watch this, between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. I'm going to put a division, he says. Now understand something. The flies were not going to be in the land of Goshen, but they weren't going to be on any of the Israelites themselves. No doubt there were some Israelites who were forced to labor outside of the area of Goshen. And while they're outside of the land of Goshen and all the other Egyptians are fighting off the flies, here they stand, not one around them. Now, there's some of you have an odor about you that you could be by everybody, and all the bugs are over there, and you have nothing. You know what I'm talking about. There's some of you like this. You just have that, you know, that about you. And there they are. And I find this about ticks. Ticks don't like me. They don't get, because I go different places. I'm looking for balls and so forth. But praise God, I got this odor about me that the ticks don't like. They don't come around me. Anybody else, they'd be fighting off the ticks, pulling the ticks off them. But you've had people that there they stand there and you have nothing, but they have them all. And this is what God was showing. But now, and it doesn't, when you're looking to see all the this one not swatting or doing anything, you're wondering, what's going on? Well, in this situation, God was showing himself to be strong, that he divided not only an area, but he divided a people. Now, notice this. When would this plague begin? Did you see it? Tomorrow. Remember Pharaoh's tomorrow in Exodus chapter 8, verse 10? That involved one more night of cursing. When Moses said, hey, when would you like this to be taken away from you? He said, tomorrow. So they had one more night of cursing. But Moses' tomorrow involved one more night of grace. They wouldn't have this plague until tomorrow. Repent. This is the day of repentance. Repent. You got another 12 hours, 24 hours before this comes upon you. They wouldn't experience this plague until tomorrow. But let me ask you a question before we go any further. Do you think God's word can be trusted? Now, you've read with me verses 20, 21, and 23. You've read his I wills, okay? You think he can be trusted? Well, let's take a look at verse 24. And the Lord did so. He did so as he said. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into the servants' houses, into the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Look at your next two purposes, please. Because of this example, I purpose to put more and more confidence that God's word will come to pass. And the next one. Because of the plague of flies, I purpose to acknowledge God is sovereign over all his creatures, even flies. Even when you're out on the golf course. There's nothing that God is not in control of, people. I've told you an incident that we, a missionary, and horse kicked him right in the head, killed him instantly. Now, obviously it's going to bring much grief to the family, right? But when you and I begin to understand that there's nothing, no animal that's not ultimately in the control of God, great peace comes upon you. It can be as small as lice. It can be as small as flies. God has his finger on it. Well, we noted the Lord's response to this plague of flies included a warning. Moses and Aaron's response to this plague of flies, they issued the warning. But let's focus now as we close on Pharaoh's response to the plague of flies. Look at verse 25. And Pharaoh, he called for Moses and for Aaron. He said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Pharaoh concedes to letting the people worship their God in the land, meaning they were to worship him in Egypt. Pharaoh, like so many of us, oftentimes we only want to partially obey God's word. We try to do whatever we can to just partially obey his word. Listen, Pharaoh, he doesn't want to lose a million slaves, believing that if they were to exit the land, they'd never come back. So he says, hey, you can worship in the land. And notice Moses' reply to Pharaoh in verse 26. And Moses said, is it not meet or right so to do? For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? Moses knew their worship of their God would be an abomination to the Egyptians. And then for them to worship where they could be seen, it would be putting them in danger of being killed. He says, will they not stone us? We're seeing this just in a small way in our own country. How the cross, which represents Christianity, which represents the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is more and more becoming an abomination to the ungodly. You think, oh, we'll always be able to do that. No, we're not going to always be able to do this, to worship, and to worship openly. It's not going to happen. It's going to be shut down. And it may begin in certain states, like New York State and like California. Worship is going to come to a place where they say, you know what, they're full of hate. They're racial, showing the aspect of towards homosexuals, towards whatever. And there's going to be, and already has been, a greater pressure being put upon the Christian church in worshiping. And I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that you're going to see in certain states the Christians moving out, going to other states. where they can worship more freely. And I think eventually it'll be the whole country. That's why while we have it, we ought to enjoy it. That's why we have it. We ought to just live it to the very fullest. The fact that we have the right yet to worship our God here in this land. But I don't think it's always going to be like that. Well, Moses, he says they must go into the wilderness to worship as God had commanded them. Look at verse 27. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. All right? As he shall command us, we shall go. Now, do this with me. We looked at it this morning. Just flip back 2 pages. Exodus chapter 5. Did Pharaoh know about this? And we read in verse 1. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron, they went in, they told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Did Pharaoh know that they were going outside the land? And the answer is yes. But he's trying to get them to compromise. Trying to encourage them to compromise. He knew what God had instructed his people to do. Look at your purpose I put down here. One, I purpose not to entice a person to only partially obey God's commandment. And I purpose not to be enticed by another to only partially obey God's command. Just watch. Watch how Pharaoh seeks to entice Moses and the people to partially obey God's command. Look at verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only, ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Those who only partially obey, they want others to join them in only partially obeying. So you shouldn't be surprised if someone comes to you with someone who is only partially obeying and not trying to entice you to only partially obey. Now, here Pharaoh's asking Moses to entreat, pray for him that this plague would be over. Now, this time, Pharaoh agrees to let them go worship in the wilderness, but you know what? They weren't to go very far. Well, come back with me to Exodus, please, chapter 5 again. I guess Pharaoh didn't know about this, did he? Verse 2. They were to go hold a feast in the wilderness, but how far were they to go? And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and the sword. Did Pharaoh know, number one, they were to go outside the land? Yes. Did Pharaoh know how far they were to go outside the land? Yes. 3 days' journey. He knew. And yet he seeks to entice the people to compromise. Now, what comes next seems kind of interesting. But before we look at it, notice the purpose. Because of this example, I purpose not to continue to pressure others to compromise God's word, nor will I let others continue to pressure me to compromise God's word. And how does Moses respond to this promise of Pharaoh? Look at verse 29. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go sacrifice to the Lord. You see, Moses agrees to entreat the Lord to remove these flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. And when would he do this? Tomorrow. Now, is that grace or is that more chastening? Well, they're going to have this for one more day. Is that God showing them grace, or is that God bringing chastening? It's God bringing chastening. He's chastening them. Now, in the midst of this, Moses also warns Pharaoh not to go back on his word and to fail to let the people go. Look at this purpose, because we often fail in this area, people. I purpose to warn others, not to lie and deceive. We need to, I mean, this is an unregenerate person, Pharaoh. Here's Moses warning him, boy, you know, don't lie, don't deceive. You think Moses had a right to doubt that he would let the people go? Not only because of what he's heard from God, but also because of what he's seen in Pharaoh? Yeah, you say, well, yeah, I could see he had some doubt about whether he'd obey. But look at verse 30. Because here's what we read. And Moses, he went out from Pharaoh and he entreated the Lord. Why? If there's a little of doubt, well, okay, I know what God told me. Now, I don't know if we're at that point when God is going to finally cause the people to go. He didn't tell him how many. At this point, Moses doesn't know how many plagues are going to come upon Pharaoh. And he knows ultimately one of those plagues is going to be enough to cause Pharaoh to compel him to leave. He doesn't know if he's at that point. He knows the nature of Pharaoh because he's seen him. He's a liar, he's a deceiver. But Moses had experienced again and again the mercy of God. God's mercy, God's grace, impatiently enduring Moses' rebellion when he kept up making excuses for not going and leading the people out. It seems that now Moses is showing that same kind of patience towards Pharaoh in the midst of his disobedience. Over and over the years, I've said to my wife and the deacons, who were deacons at the time, is that if I'm going to err, I'd a lot rather err on the side of mercy. Now, you think they will, you think they won't. Boy, I got some doubts. But if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of mercy. Can't tell you how many people told me they'll send me back my money. And as of yet, none. I don't think any have. So, you know, you just... look at your purpose. You know, I purpose to strive to err on the side of mercy in being patient that a person might repent and do right. I still think that's a good adage. If you're going to err, err on the side of mercy. If you're not really certain, err on the side of mercy. And I think God will take care of you. Well, it seems that Moses made the right decision. Why? How do I say that? Why do I say that? Look at verse 31. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. There remained not one. Just as the coming of the plague was miraculous, so is its going. There remained not one. And how did Pharaoh respond to this great wonder? Was there sincere repentance on his part? Well, let's look at verse 32 as we close. And Pharaoh, he hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. He hardened his heart. He would not obey. But his heart was also hardened by his not obeying. Remember that. We've stated that before, but I want to state it again as we close this morning. Watch. I purpose not to demonstrate a hardened heart. How do you demonstrate a hardened heart? By your disobedience. But also know this. Nor will I harden my heart by my disobedience. Yes, you don't obey because of a hardened heart. But be mindful, if you continue to disobey, it's not going to soften your heart. It's only going to harden that heart. So you today determine, you know what? I'm not gonna add to my heart being hardened anymore by my disobedience. I'm gonna obey. The area that God has prompted me to stop doing, the area He's prompted me to start doing, I'm gonna obey. And I'm not gonna be like Pharaoh. That's not gonna take another plague in my life, or two, or three, or four, before I bow my knee to God. Let the plagues that you've already experienced be plenty. Be plenty. Don't invite Him to bring another plague upon you. Don't harden your heart. Open your heart as evidenced by your obedience to the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before You this day, and it is our prayer that, one, You would bless us with a heart of repentance, as evidenced by the truth that we are quick to acknowledge our sin, and second, by the truth that we are willing to flee from the snare of the devil who has taken us captive to do His will. Lord, help each and every one of us right now to purpose to start that which we know You've commanded us to do in Your Word, that You might open up the heavens and pour us out a blessing and not a curse. Lord, we thank You. We praise You for this warning that You have given to us through the life of Pharaoh. Help us, Lord, to be faithful servants like Moses and Aaron, doing Your bidding, even when it involves rejection, much rejection from others. Let us not grow weary with well-doing. Let us not fear in warning those because of their disobedience. But Lord, let us trust in You, believing in You. Lord, help us, we pray, to be faithful servants of Thine. For it's in Jesus we ask it. Amen.